Thank you. With that, we will bring this November 20th, 2025 Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting to order. We start with a roll call.
All right. Member Talley?
Here.
Member Riley?
Here.
Member Lowe?
Here.
Member Tuggle?
Here.
Member Inman? Oh. Or Marcia or Guthrie? No. Gibson? Hageman.
Here.
Thank you for that. Before public comment today, I want to remind everyone each speaker tonight or today will be given 3 minutes. The limit will be applied equally to all speakers. Under the Brown Act, Government Code Section 54954.3, the board may adopt reasonable regulation for public comment, including time limits, as long as they are applied uniformly and are content neutral. Any objections from the board? Seeing no objection from the board, we'll proceed under those rules. Public comment is now open.
Yeah. All right. Gotcha. We're good.
I'll start over. I lost 4 seconds. I'll recover. Good morning, committee members. David, my name is Jesse Swanizer. I'm one of the attorneys for the plaintiffs in the Lopez Dam litigation. I have just very plain and simple comments today. I just wanted to remind this group that the plaintiffs continue to be engaged in and interested in a settlement with the county on this. Our goal in initiating litigation was not to spend millions of dollars and 10 years on a solution that ultimately I think everyone sees, the details of which obviously need to be negotiated. We wanted to also say that we think, from the outside at least, it appears that this committee is engaging at a deeper level. We understand there'll be a closed session at some point on this topic, and from our perspective, that's a very positive movement in the direction of a settlement and a global resolution of the issues. And the last thing I wanted to say is just simply that we've discussed with county representatives, and we wanted to emphasize to this group that we think a mediation between the parties would be extremely useful. In my experience and the experience of the other folks on the legal team, mediation has a way of focusing the party's attention on the details. And this is a case where there's some technical details and the specifics of a potential settlement really do need a level of attention that's different than coming together periodically and thinking and talking about it. And mediation might be an opportunity and a way for the parties to find a solution that's mutually agreeable. And that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Any others wish to address this committee? Thank you.
I messed up the time. Hold on one second.
I pushed the red button.
Yeah, there you go.
Hi, my name is Sarah Sternberg, and I'm here from Creeklands Conservation. We're right across the road over there on Stanley. And I just wanted to come and, first of all, thank you all for your support on our AG stream gauge project that happened behind our office about a year ago. We're coming up on the year anniversary of that fish passage barrier removal and giving some of our monitoring post-construction. It seems like we're getting some really positive results in terms of the hydrology, habitat, and fish passage. So just wanted to come and thank you all again for your support on that. And then also here to just remind the community that we're here right in your backyard. We have biologists and hydrologists on staff. We're a non-litigious organization that's just here to support this group and the community in any way we can, in any ways relating to our waterways. So thank you again, and nice to meet you all.
Thank you for that. Anybody else? Okay, committee member Hageman.
Maybe to Sarah, first of all, Brad Hageman with Alva Beach CSD and CSA 12 rep. Do you, does Creeklands do or help with monitoring for then submittals to regulatory agencies? Is that some of your role?
Yes, absolutely.
It is, okay, good, because I mean, they'll, I'm anticipating there'll be, certainly as the HCP works its way through, there'll be some monitoring. And it's expensive, and so that, using a nonprofit or somebody like that would be a something that would be in your guys' bailiwick, huh?
That's absolutely in our wheelhouse, and that's part of the reason why we do the work that we do, is try to keep those costs lower for that really important, rigorous, scientific hydraulic monitoring work. And we've worked on other HCPs, and we're, you know, we've done this all over the county since 1983. So,
excellent.
Yeah, we're willing and ready to go. So,
thank you. Yeah. And then just maybe one more, and not for you, Sarah, but for the first commenter. It's my, I mean, you came and spoke at our last meeting, and we kind of talked about the need for submittal of the HCP, which has been accomplished, submitted to the regulatory agencies. And then a settlement, I think I speak on behalf of a lot of the cities and counties and special districts. We'd love to see a settlement on the litigation side. And the county has submitted, it's my understanding they've submitted and I don't want to, you know, go back and forth on it because I'm not that well versed as you probably are on it. But just for the public's information, the settlement offer has been made, and I think that's being discussed by the attorneys, is my understanding. And so that's, again, I'm looking at that as a positive step overall, and hopefully we can you know, kind of stop with the back and forth and no offense, but the lawyers, you know, billing hours and those kinds of things. We talked about that a little bit last time as well. It's a lot of money. So I guess I'm just hopefully that's recognized and we can move forward on that. And then there was another topic, I think the water rights issue that you brought up last time, being a former employee at the Regional Water Quality Control Board for a number of years. We didn't do water rights out of the regional board office, but it's my understanding that this water rights issue is between obviously the county and the State Water Resources Control Board, and that they are, again, working actively on that too. It's been a long time, but they are working actively on that. So I guess wanted to make that point to the audience as well as to the board, just some a little bit of research that I've done on it.
May I respond briefly?
Yes.
I think I reserved a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah, with respect to a specific settlement offer, the parties have, I would say, exchanged a series of offers, but it's mostly, from my perspective, been more at a global level and less at the details, which is really where the settlement is going to happen, right? We're talking base flows, we're talking pulse flows, we're talking monitoring. And so, yes, the parties have certainly exchanged what I would say are settlement concepts. I think one of the benefits of having a mediation would be that the parties would really have to get serious and detailed about what they're talking about technically with respect to those flows and other things. So that's one of the benefits I think that would come out of a mediation, would be forcing the parties to really put pen to paper and come up with proposals that they believe are reasonable, given the relative positions, and then I think I can just leave it there. I think that would be a really beneficial piece. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. I think I'm okay to close public comment at this time. So we'll move on to the September 18th, 2025 meeting minutes. Did anyone have any comment or discussion, or I'll entertain a motion?
Well, I reviewed the minutes with Varda Ketta, who is the alternate, and he told me that they were fine, so I would move approval.
I'll second.
Do we need roll call on this?
I'll run a roll call, yep. Member Talley?
Yes.
Member Riley?
Yes.
Member Lowe?
Yes.
Member Tuggle?
Yes.
Member Gibson?
Yes.
Member Hagerman?
Yes.
David, did you see that Marsha Guthrie just arrived?
With that, we'll start public comment over again. No, I'm kidding. We'll catch you up, Marsh. All right. Approval of the 2026 meeting schedule.
I apologize. I don't believe that's in the slide deck on here, but it did make the board packet.
Correct. I think we're looking at page four of the packet. So if everyone knows exactly where they'll be on those dates, we can decide right now. Does anyone have any comment?
You're looking at just the blue just line the blue. Items for right. the AC.
It's our typical
calendar. No new items. I think a couple of the meeting locations might have changed just based on coordination with your guys' agencies and council chamber availability.
If no comment, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move approval.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Sure thing. Member Talley?
Yes.
Member Riley?
Yes.
Member Lowe?
Yes.
Member Tuggle?
Yes.
Can I include Guthrie now that she showed up? Because can I do that? If you weren't for original, for original attendance. Member Guthrie? Member Guthrie?
The rest of my life.
Sorry.
I apologize.
Member Guthrie? Member Gibson?
Yes.
Member Agarwin?
Yes.
You almost broke me on that one. That was good. Okay.
I don't mean to interrupt, but does she need a microphone?
Yes, that would be great.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Okay, there's an extra one.
You. Thank you.
Just don't mind me. I'll be moving around.
Okay. While all that's happening, we'll look towards the operations report.
All right. Let me pull that up real quick. All right. Today's operations are the Lopez Water Treatment Plant is producing at 3.8 MGD. The state water project is still offline. Downstream releases are at 5.2 MGD. The capacity is at 80.6%. Our storage volume currently is at 39,862 acre feet. That elevation is 511.49 feet, and rain to date is 7.14 inches, and it's 36% of the annual total or average. And then I'll just move on down the ops report here. As you can see on the screen, this is the current Lopez reservoir projections chart. As you can see, the dark green line, that's our storage projection. If there was no preliminary injunction with the predicted rainfall, our green line is storage projection with rainfall and the preliminary injection. And then our storage projection in the yellow, that is no rainfall, but with the current preliminary injunction. Any questions on the projection chart?
I have a quick question. I don't know if this is the appropriate.
I don't know if this is the appropriate topic to ask, but a while back you had a hard time finding a source of rain prediction, and you kind of landed on someone that you felt, I don't know if it's the same one or not, I can't remember, that you felt was maybe more accurate than others. Is the county implementing any kind of balance measures? Like, okay, these are their predictions, and then maybe weigh it with actualities to kind of see, maybe so we can gauge how far the closest predictor is? You know what I mean? I don't know if that's even possible, but sometimes our predictions are like way off, and sometimes they're not, and it'd be nice to...
Yeah, and it's actually kind of described in this graph. So the blue rainfall is the predicted rainfall for the years.
Right.
And the website, we have not actually found a very good, still to this date, a good predictor of rainfall.
Right.
However, so the blue is the prediction, and then the red is the actual. But we keep it on the chart so you can kind of see what the prediction was and then what the actual.
Right, was. Right. Yeah. But it's not tracked as far as of now. The prediction is it's tracked here, but okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted the numbers to be together, but I guess that they are in an abstract way. For me, it's abstract, but maybe for you, for
creating the graph. Yeah. Right. Any other questions on the projection chart?
Can you remind me where we are on cloud seeding?
We do not currently have a contract with a cloud seeding agency, right, or consultant right now. I believe our contract expired with them in 2023-24. And at this time, we have no plans to do any future cloud seeding. At least it has not been discussed at the TAC meetings. So,
thank you.
All right. No other questions on the projections. We will move on to the monthly ops reports. I'll just jump forward to, I can start in September. And your guys' water usage is tracking just fine. I don't see anything out of the ordinary. We are still working to revise these operational sheets. If you guys are familiar with a program called Power BI, we're working on a more friendlier like user interface that might not be so complicated looking. It's still in development. It's very draft at this point, but we are working towards a more refined report. So hopefully we can get there at some point. But it is in process. And I'll just remind everybody that yes, state water is still off. We're still doing the free chlorine burn. And I believe that's expected to end sometime near the 1st of December. So, and then we can move on to project updates. All right, so membrane module racks, no change. They're still scheduled to be here on December 9th. And then we'll work on an install schedule with our operations staff. The spillway assessment and investigation, we did just receive the draft spillway alternatives analysis from our consultant, GEI. It is still in review. We'll be presenting that to the TAC maybe next month if GEI can get all our comments corrected by then. And then it would be submitted to DSOD after that. The geotechnical testing and seismic alternative study, we did get a notice back from DSOD. They are requesting that we do a 2D FLAC and fault displacement hazard analysis. Our factor of safety for the terminal reservoir dam was very close on their original findings. Again, that was GEI that did the work. Therefore, DSOD wanted us to do a more of a finite element analysis that would get us a better number for what our factor of safety is. So that number will dictate whether or not we have to do a seismic retrofit to the reservoir or to the dam. So cathodic protection repair project, we are 1 year out from replacing the anode ground beds and fixing some of the test stations. So we will be doing a testing of all the new test stations and the existing ones, seeing how our cathodic protection system's working, and we're still working on getting our encroachment permit with DWR to put in a foreign pipe test station right where State Water and our Lopez line cross, right at Lopez Drive and Orchid. So, and then let's see, fire flow tanks still on hold. I know that one's been on hold a long time. We don't have the funds to fix it. We still are monitoring and taking a look at it, making sure it's still functional and there's nothing wrong with it. But it will need replaced within, I'm guessing, in the next 5 to 10 years. And then items that are completed is the steelhead passage feasibility assessment and the Lopez Dam flow sensor. Any questions on the project updates? He can't hear you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Do you know how long the new analysis on the spillway will take and when it will start?
Is this the 2D FLAC one?
Yeah.
So that one's actually for the terminal reservoir. There's two items that are real similar. So we have the spillway technical memo for the alternatives, and then we have the terminal dam. Did you want...
How long it would take for the new analysis?
So for the terminal reservoir, I believe it would probably take them about 3 to 4 months to complete that work. At this time, we don't have the funds to complete that work. Initial quotes that we had gotten were relatively low, and then when we came back about 6 months later after further refinement, they came back pretty high. We are considering putting it out to bid and seeing if we can get better pricing. So.
Comment. Just more of a comment, I think, than a question. And Dave, you can make sure my thinking's correct with regard to operations and the recent rain we've had. A friend came up and said, "God, this is great rain. Lopez must be filling up real fast." And I said, "Well, actually, not yet. Usually, the first rains of the year, and we kind of know this from an operational standpoint. The ground gets saturated, and then the second and third." 6 inches or so is really where we get our decent runoff. So I don't think we've really seen the needle move that much on capacity or inflow into the dam. But as with this additional rain, I think where you said 7 inches or so, that's kind of the seems like 7 to 9 inches is sort of the magic number.
Yeah, we're finding around 9 to 10 inches is the magic number. Yeah. Once we hit that point, usually the ground's plenty saturated, and then we start to really see the runoff into
nice,
the
reservoir. Nice response. So we'll always take the rain, but we just hopefully don't peter out now for the rest of the wet season.
Any other questions or comments on the projects?
Just a point of curiosity, with the Steelhead Passage feasibility assessment, is that something that will be shared out here or that is available publicly if people want to look at it?
That's a good comment. I'm pretty sure we can share it publicly and put it on the Zone 3 website, so I'll check on that.
Awesome,
so,
thanks.
But if not, then I can definitely share it with the group.
Good observation, Jules. Appreciate that. So we'll move on to the Lopez Recreation Report.
I'm Brian Wilder, Park Superintendent with Slo County Parks, and here to do the Recreation Report. Lopez Lake Recreation visitors for September and October was about 36,000 people. That equated to about $450,000 in revenue. It was pretty busy. We had good weather. So it's definitely slowed down since summer, but the last 2 months were still pretty busy. We've had some of the activities. We've had no fish plants since April of 2025. We've had some volunteer groups doing shoreline litter. That's a big thing that we do in our off season. It's extensive after every summer. So we've been kind of having our volunteer efforts, including a couple of Boy Scout groups out to focus on that. Also, Fire Safe Council has funded and organized a fuel reduction project, mostly in our developed campsite areas. It's about a $30,000 project that they funded. We've had a couple of projects over the past maybe 5 or 6 years at Lopez with Fire Safe Council. They've done excellent work at reducing our fuel load in the park, so we're very happy to have them back this year. Some projects going on at the lake. The water tank project, replacement project, is continuing. The old tank has been dismantled. Currently, the recreation area is operating on 3 auxiliary tanks that are basically in the same area as the old tank, and they're working on the base to construct the new tank. Rain's going to put a damper on things. That was part of the anticipation of this project. We got a really good head start in the fall, so we feel like we're in a pretty good spot to have this project done before we get into our busy season next year. And then other than that, just general off-season staff training projects for the park. We basically start prepping for next summer when this summer ends, so that's kind of what the ranger staff is up to right now. Our aquatic invasive species program, we had about 1,052 vessels inspected over the past 2 months. 17 were rejected for not being clean and dry. Department of Fish and Wildlife Coordination, we've had a lot of bear troubles over the past couple of years, especially at Lopez Lake. So we've been coordinating with Fish and Wildlife. They're actually doing a trapping and monitoring program. We had 2 different bears that were equipped with radio collars. One was relocated. The other one somehow shed his collar and is MIA right now, but I'm sure she'll be back. She's been a problem, and we actually have a depredation permit. It's the first time that we've ever done that at Lopez Lake in conjunction with Fish and Wildlife. So we're hoping she goes away for good. That would be the best case scenario, but I'm not too confident that she won't return when the crowds return next summer. So, and that's about it for me, unless there's any questions.
I actually have a question. Are you having any trouble with feral pigs at Lopez these days?
We've had a little bit. We've had extensive problems at Santa Margarita Lake the past 2 years. It seems to be a little worse, at least in our viewpoint, in the North County area. It's not uncommon the last couple of years to see wild pigs at Lopez, but not in large numbers where they're doing a lot of destruction.
Yeah, it's become a much bigger issue for us around Tally Farms, yeah. And especially in our community that's adjacent to that.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely been a problem in the North County. They really kind of go towards our turf for some reason. So they've completely destroyed one turf area at Margarita Lake. And they've also hit the community park in Santa Margarita pretty hard, too. We've tried various deterrents, and nothing seems to really be working very well. You're welcome.
Thanks for that report. We have some informational items on the agenda.
Yep. That'll be me as well. And I do have finance staff in the audience if you guys have any questions. So this is the first quarter budget status for 25-26. I'll be covering it at a pretty high level, so if you guys have questions after, definitely ask. So currently, we've expended 29% of the budget. The budget for 25-26 was $7 million, right, give or take there. We had $1.1 million of carry forward with a total budget of 8.2. Our expenses through quarter one are $2.369 million, and our current available balance is $5.874 million. Routine O&M, we're currently at 27%, so being the first quarter, things are looking pretty good. Non-routine O&M, we're at 79%. $589,000 of that is litigation expenses, so that's what's putting the non-routine O&M up as high as it is. Our capital outlay, as you guys know, we deferred a lot of our projects for this fiscal year. So the budget was only $95,000. The budget carry forward was $712,000 for a total of $807,000 for the capital outlay. Currently, we're sitting at less than 1% spent. However, the membrane replacements, we took all the carry forward money and we dumped it right on the membrane rack replacements. As soon as we get the invoicing for that project, then we should see that jump way up. I think the anticipated invoice on that is somewhere around $550,000 or $560,000. So we'll see that catch up pretty quick. That's pretty high level. Did you guys have any specific questions on the budget? And I was informed, too, that our finance department is working with each of your agencies on the true-up billings. So.
Great. And just a reminder for me, maybe it is for others, that we're doing fiscal year, so we're 79% since June?
Yeah, July 1.
July 1. Okay, thank you. Were there any other comments or questions? If not, we will move on to action items.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, go ahead.
I didn't know if you were. No. Sorry. I know this is an information item, not an action item, but I do have a comment. Just as representing the water drinking public of Arroyo Grande, this is an extraordinary expense that that the city is will be working to cover that, its share. But I would just make a request that we work together to try to expedite the resolution of this to reduce the burden, because it will be a burden. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Lowe. Anybody else before we move on? Okay, thank you. We have two different kind of action items. We have action items with no subsequent board or supervisor's action required, and there are none of those on the agenda today. Action items, Board of Supervisors action is subsequently required. We have one item.
All right, yeah. So today you would be endorsing the agricultural member appointment of Byron Talley in replacement of Brian Talley.
Yeah, and I realize that's a little confusing. But, Byron and I have very, very similar names. Byron is actually here today, sitting in our audience. And, I think he is well positioned for this. In fact, I think I was younger than Byron is now when I first joined this committee. And just, I guess, is a little bit of his bio. He actually, one of his main responsibilities at Tally Farms is overseeing our irrigation infrastructure. So he spends a lot of time with water. He's actually overseen drilling of two new wells on our property in the last year. So I think he's well positioned for this. And my hope is that the committee will agree to support his endorsement.
Thanks for that. Is there any other presentation or goes?
No, just straight to endorsement.
Okay. Very good.
So just need a motion.
Yeah.
you can ask.
Well, can I make the motion then to, approve the endorsement of Byron Tally as the new agricultural member?
I'll second that.
Roll.
All right. Member Tally?
Yes.
Member Riley?
Yes.
Member Lowe?
Yes.
Member Tuggle?
Yes.
Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Member Gibson?
Yes.
And Member Hagerman?
Yes.
Awesome. Welcome, Byron. Look forward to seeing you at the next meeting. Brian, end of an era, dude. It's been awesome. Yeah. Please, how much time has it been?
Well, I was reflecting on that. I served a couple of terms initially, starting I think in my late 20s, which would have been in the early 90s, back in the day when Tom Runnels was a permanent member on this committee, both as the agricultural representative, and I think I was his alternate. And then once Tom moved on to became a city council member, I basically stepped into the role as the ag representative then. So it's been off and on, I think about 30 years now. And at this point, I just wanted to say that I have often made the comment to folks that I really have appreciated how this committee works with the County of San Luis Obispo. I think it's been a very, very productive relationship. Having said that, I am dismayed at the point that we have come to. And I think this is the lawsuit has created a very significant challenge for folks in the South County. And I do at this juncture endorse the idea of mediation to try to move forward productively. But at the end of the day, the thing that dismays me about this is going to result in less water at higher rates for ratepayers in the South County. And I think it's a shame because I feel like this resource has been managed very effectively to this point. And I'll close it on that.
Jules, okay. Thanks for your service. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian, for your service.
And we'll probably still tap your shoulder for some institutional knowledge now and then, I imagine. So, okay, with that, we have the opportunity to bring up any future agenda items that we would like to see in future agendas. Does anybody have anything for discussion?
Just circling back to the idea of seeing the report of the feasibility study, either on the website or presentation. I love a good presentation, so feel free to make a slideshow if that works.
Fantastic. Anybody else? No? Okay. Then we have an agenda item for committee member comments. It's just an open forum.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If anyone felt
you guys want to say anything or have any comments.
Gotcha. Anybody have anything else they want to get off their chest today? No? Okay.
I'll affirm Ms. Lowe's.
Very good. Thank you.
Them.
Fair enough. I imagine it'll come up in future council meetings, so you'll get a chance to say your part too. So.
And I guess I'll bring up during this one point. I think Jesse had mentioned it too. I did check with our county council, and you cannot have a closed session in this committee. So.
Okay.
Yep.
maybe we'll have a public presentation one of these days.
Yeah, then how do we make sure that we're getting good, appropriate legal advice on what we can and can't say? Because some of us are tongue-tied, concerned that we're going to say the wrong thing. And some of us don't have any counsel, like at least council members do have access to our city attorneys on this conversation. But I feel like we collectively need to have a common understanding so we can have effective public communication.
Understood.
Right. We do have two members that aren't, they don't belong to an agency that has their own legal counsel. And admittedly, your chair is one of those. So it would be nice if there would be some reconsideration of that, or maybe some, if it's a bylaw, that's understood. But some way for all of us to be on the same page would be great.
Sure.
Noting that, thank you, everybody, for making it today, participating in this public forum. We'll adjourn the meeting.